She originated, I believe, in Colorado. Then she was transplanted into Maryland. And God's got another transplant yet before her. And I'll let her share the rest of that. It's our honor as a church, as a mission team, to be able to join in what God is calling her to. And I pray that, and I can honestly stand here and say that Chad nor I can be as effective at teaching what it is to be called and what it is to carry out that calling than Joyce Lynn. So Joyce Lynn, please come up here and share what God has led you to.
Well, good morning. Thank you so much for having me today. I'm very excited to be able to share with you today. And I've just been so excited about how God has connected us, connected me with the Beckers and your missions committee. So I'm just so excited to be here this morning. Although I will confess that I have one reason to be nervous, and that is I had a great dinner with your missions committee last night and was told that probably Pastor Sparks wouldn't be there because he's been a little under the weather with mononucleosis, I understand. So I wasn't expecting to see him last night. And as I was meeting people for the first time, this very enthusiastic man came up to me and said, "Hello, we're so glad that you're here today. We're so excited to meet you." And I said, "Oh yeah, I'm Joyce, what's your name?" He said, "Oh, I'm Chad Sparks." And I thought, this is Chad Sparks on mononucleosis. I wonder what he's like normally. And I was like, he must be really high energy, and I don't know if I can match that level of energy, but, so you're stuck with my level of energy this morning, but I hope still that this will be a blessing to you. The scripture that I'll be speaking about today is Ephesians 2:10. It's just one verse, and if you have a Bible, you can feel free to turn there, but I'll just read it here. Ephesians 2:10 says, "We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And so this isn't so much a sermon as it is a little bit of an unpacking of this verse by sharing the ministry that I've become involved in, as well as my testimony in how God called me to join that ministry. So I'd like to start out this morning by asking you to consider one simple word, the word road, R-O-A-D. It may not be a word that you usually spend a lot of time thinking about. What comes to mind when you think of the word road? Let me guess at some of the images that might be in your head right now. Pavement, maybe black asphalt. Lines, maybe white or yellow ones used to mark separate lanes. Or maybe you're thinking of traffic, cars traveling along the road. These would all be common images that come to mind if you live in the United States. But let me describe to you a road that I once saw on the other side of the world, in the island country of Indonesia. This road was a combination of asphalt, gravel, and dirt. It didn't need lane markings because it was only one lane. And the most common traffic on this road wasn't cars, but little pigs out for a stroll and owned by the people of the surrounding villages. The road itself was surrounded by dense jungles and high mountains. And in some places, erosion was threatening to almost completely wipe the road away, letting the jungle reclaim the little land it had lost. Perhaps you've seen tiny little roads like this in the U.S., but this road in Indonesia, this tiny, eroded, mostly traveled by pigs road, was the biggest road that ran from the coastal cities into the interior of that island. And in fact, most of the interior villages on that island had no roads leading up to them. The people who lived in those villages, they were what you would call isolated. In some areas of the world, it's just difficult, if not impossible, to build roads. Now I'd like you to think of another word with me. Ambulance. What comes to mind when you think of this word? I needed an ambulance once. I had been chasing some athletic kids in a swimming pool playing tag and managed to strain a muscle in my back. The next day, when I woke up, I was totally immobilized. I couldn't get up, and I thought to myself, well, there's nothing to do except call 911. And so paramedics came to get me in an ambulance, which looked to me like, as you would expect, a big rectangular metal box with four wheels and sirens on top. But what happens when someone wakes up in the middle of the jungles in Indonesia and finds that they can't get out of bed? It was really scary for me to wake up that way in the middle of Boston, a major US city. How much scarier would it have been to know that there were no hospitals nearby and no big boxy ambulances coming to get me because they can't fit on the tiny roads that went past my village? What if I had instead broken a leg or had a tree branch puncture my side? Could I get my friends to maybe carry me on a stretcher for a week to the nearest doctor? What condition would I be in at that point? This was just one of the many problems faced by isolated people in Indonesia before World War II. During that war, some military pilots, while flying overhead, thought to themselves, what if instead of driving, we could fly small airplanes to help meet the needs of these isolated people? In 1945, they started Mission Aviation Fellowship, or MAF, whose mission is to share the love of Jesus Christ through aviation and technology so that isolated people may be physically and spiritually transformed. MAF now serves isolated people in over 30 countries, but Indonesia was one of the first. MAF has been there for over 60 years. So in Indonesia, what isolated people today think of as an ambulance is not a big rectangular box with four wheels and sirens, but a small airplane. An airplane that can turn what would have been a journey of a week on foot into 1 hour in the air. That small airplane is also what they think of instead of an 18-wheel truck when they need to move heavy equipment. And that small airplane is what they think of instead of a yellow taxi when pastors and missionaries need to travel to minister to isolated people. MAF makes all these things possible: medical care, community development, Christian ministry and evangelism. Over the last 60 years, MAF has helped to transform and improve the lives of many isolated people. But the work is not yet finished. There's still much to be done. And as time goes by, there's a need for a new generation of pilots. Now, I could tell you much more about the type of work that MAF is doing, but I have a video here that will help you visualize it much more effectively.
My name is Safiri. I come from Katse, which is in the heart of the mountains. The mountains are far. It can take 3 days for people in some of the villages to get to the nearest city. Before MAF, it took me that long to reach them.
Isolation is so much more than separation. In many places around the world, isolation means being entirely cut off. Individual people and entire communities completely removed from the outside world, from basic human needs, and from the message of the gospel. Separated by geographic, political, and even religious barriers. Mission Aviation Fellowship works to overcome isolation. So even people living in the most remote places can respond to the gospel. Since 1945, MAF has used the tools and talents God has given us to reach isolated people. Flying airplanes, developing technology, delivering related training have opened doors for our missionaries and the churches and organizations we serve to overcome isolation so the hearts of these people might be filled with the love of Jesus.
Nothing validates the need for MAF like leaving the airplane behind and then setting off on foot. And we come back infected and sick and exhausted and covered in leech bites. And we're covering just very small portions of what, for example, we would on a 1 hour flight from the coast into the villages where we serve, that same 1 hour flight, it would take 1 to 2 months to cover that by land.
It took me a while to become a Christian, but after I did, I wanted others to know. So I went back to the villages to share Jesus' love with them. The needs are great here. If a woman has a baby, if someone gets hurt, they have no way out. They would not be able to make it. When MAF comes, everything changes.
MAF works so that individual lives, churches, and communities can be transformed by the love of Jesus Christ. Working alongside our many partners to bring medical care, community development, Bible translation, evangelism, and ultimately hope to places where there is none. Mission Aviation Fellowship continues to share Christ's love from deep jungles to rugged mountains to war-torn countries. Because we believe everyone deserves access to basic human needs. Everyone deserves a chance to hear the name of Jesus Christ.
God has brought hope to a place where there was no hope. And it impacted these people. It changed me.
Well, as a new missionary pilot, I'm so excited to help continue MAF's work in Indonesia. As you'd expect, I'll be flying airplanes like the ones that you saw in the video. But MAF uses different forms of technology in addition to airplanes to reach isolated people. Because isolation is not only overcome by the transportation that an airplane provides, isolation can also be overcome by the things that we're so familiar with, you know, computers, phones, and the internet. So I'll also be serving with MAF as a computer IT specialist. Now, you may be wondering at this point, okay, pilot, computers, Christian mission work. That's sort of a unique combination. What's the story here? How did you get to this point? Well, like Pastor Jeff said, I grew up in Colorado and then later Maryland. I was the oldest of three children, and I became a Christian when I was 7. But unlike many people who have joined MAF, when I was growing up, I never thought that I would one day become a missionary. I never thought that I would one day be moving overseas. In fact, when I was 10, I remember distinctly reading a book that mentioned that year-round, Indonesia is 90 degrees Fahrenheit and 90% humidity. And I still remember thinking to myself, when I read that, well, it's going to be my life goal to never go there. Turns out that God has a sense of humor. What I did envision myself becoming was a computer programmer. I took all the programming classes that my high school had to offer, and I had no doubt that I was going to major in computer science in college. And I was fortunate to be able to attend the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, or MIT, which is much easier to say, and graduated with both bachelor and master degrees in computer science. It was actually my life plan at one point to serve God by writing really great computer programs until I died. And there would have been nothing wrong with that if it had been God's plan for me. But over time, it became clear that it wasn't. When I was in college, I had the opportunity to go to a unique summer program where I got to fly gliders for a few weeks. And if you're unfamiliar, a glider is basically an airplane without an engine. And if you're thinking, why would anyone ever get in one of those, that's like a whole other conversation that we can have later. But flying gliders unlocked a passion and a thirst for flying. And when I returned to college that fall, I begged my parents to let me take flying lessons. Please let me take flying lessons just for fun. And when I got my private pilot license, I thanked my parents by taking them on a flight over Boston. At least, I thought it was a good way of saying thanks. As we were coming into land, I happened to look towards the back seat where my mom was sitting and noticed that she had her eyes shut like this and that her hand was grasping the safety strap on the wall and she was nervously moving like this. And I thought to myself, well, I better make this the best landing I've ever done. And to this day, that was still one of the smoothest landings in my life. Because if you're going to do a good landing, you do it for your mom. After graduation, I started working in the computer field. And I loved it at first. But after about 5 years, my life took an unexpected turn when I felt like God was calling me to attend a Christian seminary. And so I enrolled in the Master of Divinity program at Gordon-Conwell, which is up in Massachusetts. And at first, it was completely unclear to me why God had called me to attend seminary. After a year there, I had been exposed to a number of different Christian ministries, and I couldn't see myself involved in any of them full time. But one day, things changed. I was at home in my parents' house by myself, and I was vaguely just thinking about packing because I was going back to Boston the next day. And as I walked into my room, I heard very loudly 5 distinct words. You should Google missionary pilot. And to this day, I'm still not sure if it was an audible voice or just a thought that passed very loudly and clearly through my consciousness. But either way, I stopped in the doorway to my room, completely in shock. And I don't think I could have made up this thought on my own, because at the time, I didn't know what a missionary pilot was. I didn't know those two words went together. But after standing there for a while, I thought to myself, well, can't hurt to Google something. And my laptop was right there in my room, and I Googled missionary pilot, and the first hit on Google was the website for Mission Aviation Fellowship. At first, I found the website just kind of mildly interesting because I thought, oh yeah, I got a pilot's license. I can kind of understand what these people do. But then I saw that MAF pilots usually have a second job because you can't fly every day due to weather and other things. So when it's thunderstorming, you have to have something else that you're doing. And computer IT was listed as one of the possible second jobs for a pilot. At that point, I was even more shocked, and I thought, there's actually a job where you get to fly half the time, work on computers half the time, and it's a Christian ministry? I was basically made for this. And it reminded me of that verse, Ephesians 2:10, where again it says, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That evening, I had dinner with my parents and informed them that one day I was going to move overseas and become a missionary pilot. Once they figured out what this meant, they asked me, well, how long have you been thinking about this? And with a straight face, I said, all afternoon. I'm sure that sounded very suspicious to them, but there was a strong conviction within me from that very first day, one that has only grown during my years of preparation to do this. This conviction grew as I did an internship with MAF one summer in Indonesia. The conviction grew as I did all of the flight training that was required to pass MAF's technical evaluation and interviews. And this conviction has even grown even after I was accepted by MAF and assigned to Indonesia. Well, now that you know what kind of work I'll be doing in Indonesia, as well as how God called me to go there, I'd like to close first by giving praise to God. Every time I consider the many life plans that I have come up with for myself, big or small, it becomes so clear that God's plans for me are so much better than my own plans for myself. Secondly, if you're at all excited by what you've heard me say today, I want to emphasize that God's plan for you is no less exciting. Perhaps God is not calling you to fly airplanes or move to the other side of the world. But if we believe what Paul says in Ephesians 2:10, God designed each of us with a purpose in mind. When I think about my story, it seems so clear that God envisioned a role for someone in his kingdom that required that person to want to fly airplanes, even in somewhat dangerous areas, wanted that person to love working on computers, and it required the person to follow him in Christian ministry. And then it's like he said, well, I have this role here, and so I'm going to create Joyce. It's so obvious that God was so thoughtful in the way that he designed me. And I believe that he put that same amount of thoughtfulness into how he designed you. God designed each of us with a purpose in mind. He wants to entrust each person with a unique mission. And his mission in this world is not just about what's happening overseas. His mission takes place all around us. God's mission is here, locally, as well as in places like Indonesia. Social scientists have actually recognized that the thing that most determines whether people are happy is whether they have meaningful work to do. And part of the good news of the gospel is that when we surrender our lives to Christ, God not only restores our relationship with him, but he gives us meaningful work to do on behalf of his kingdom. Now, if you're wondering, what does God's mission look like for me? Ask God to reveal it to you. He may not speak to you suddenly with an audible voice, although he might, but I think he will reveal his will for you in his time. Sometimes his mission for you could involve relatively small things. You may be uniquely positioned to speak a kind word to someone who really needs to hear it today. You may be uniquely positioned to bring food to someone in need. You may be uniquely positioned to contribute to ministries, whether locally or to organizations like MAF. Or his mission for you could involve relatively big things, a career field, raising children or grandchildren, walking alongside someone for years when they are sick and in need of a friend, moving to a new place. The important thing is that we daily submit our plans to God and let him show us how we can best use our time to love him and to love other people. So thank you again so much for this opportunity to be with you today. After the service, I'll be in front of the MAF display table over there. And if you're interested in talking about anything that I've said, I'd love to meet you and talk to you. Also, just to let you know, I send out a newsletter every 2 to 3 months. And if you're interested in receiving that and hearing about what's going on as I prepare to move to Indonesia, as well as, you know, what's happening after I get there, you're welcome to come up and sign up for that newsletter. So we can keep in touch that way. Thank you.
Now, real quick, not everybody can go and move across the world, or I'll have a lot of explaining to do when Chad gets back. But if that's what God calls you to, I'll be happy to explain. Outside of that, it's time that we'll close our worship and prayer. And I know we've got some families that have their family members struggling. And Tom, we remember your father in prayer, and we lift him up, knowing that God has a plan, if only we can understand what it is, right? With that said, we also will continue to pray for Chad, as God sometimes finds ways to teach us that we're just to petition continually in prayer to God. And unfortunately, right now, it's for our senior pastor. What a challenge that is. But we will pray for Chad as well, knowing that God has something to teach each and every one of us, Chad included, and his family, but definitely his church family as well. As we're continuing on with him struggling, we do look to God in confidence that he'll return to us and be the leader he has been, but changed in the way that God wants, if that's the case. Any other prayer requests we need to add right now? With that said, feel free to join me at the altar, or please bow at your pew. Father, we humbly submit ourselves to you this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to gather together in your presence. Father, where two or three are gathered, you are there also. And we thank you. We rejoice in that absolutely this morning. Father, we're joined together that we can give you the glory that you deserve, or at least as close as we can make it. Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit to fill us each one, and Father, for us to be able to return that worship to you. May it be that wonderful sound to your ears. May it be that feeling that warms your heart, Father, that we love you, but we also recognize you first loved us. You taught us what it is to love. Father, we thank you for this opportunity this morning to hear from an individual's heart that's been called to your service, a life that has been built to perform a very specific task. Father, we thank you for your gifting of each of us. We thank you for the leading that you offer through your Holy Spirit. And Father, right now we thank you for Joyce Lynn and the ears that she has lent to the Holy Spirit, and she is now following your call. Father, may that be a lesson that you have a plan for each one of us. Might not be across the world. It might be to the very neighbor, to our east, to our west. Whatever the case, Father, you've called us each one, once we've accepted your Son, Jesus Christ, as our Savior, to share that very love that we've received. Father, with the love that we have, there are family members that are not with us today. We pray for Chad and the healing of his body. Father, his spirit is not broken, and we rejoice in that. But Father, we know that his physical body is keeping him from joining with us. The pain that he's going through and the fatigue and such things. But we thank you for the power that you have, and we understand that you can use that power to heal him instantaneously. But Father, that hasn't been the case thus far. But nevertheless, we continue to pray that you'll work through this situation as you promised to do, for your good, for our good, that we can learn more about you and depend on you more. Father, we pray for Tom and his dad. The situation doesn't look great, not by a long shot. But Heavenly Father, we submit this to you, and we support our brother that comes to be here in our worship service with us and for his immediate family. Father, we pray for your comfort to surround him and the power of your Holy Spirit to sustain him as these questions just go by day by day. But Father, may your love be that foundation that can hold him and set him forth in a path that his faith can grow. And Father, that we as a congregation can grow as well in supporting and loving him as you've called us to do. Father, we thank you so much for your unmatched love. Father, we thank you for this nation. We thank you for those that have served this nation to preserve it to the point it is today. Father, we can see fringes of decay of our very nation. We can see freedoms preparing to slip away. But Father, we pray for your intervention. Father, may we be, as a part of your church, the ones that would help to hold and to share with the rest of this nation and this world about truth and what it really is. We thank you for your written word. And Father, now we submit ourselves again to you as we prepare to close our service. Father, we want to be yours. We don't want to live our lives. We want to live the life you have for us. We love you and we thank you for your son Jesus that put his life aside to take up the cause of salvation. The very plan that you put in place, he had to set aside his life. The entirety of his being that he could become this man, yet still part of you, still God. And be the pardon, be the covering of our sin, that we can be reunited with you. We thank you in his name. Amen.